You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome, Philly, to your favorite sports
Bams
show.
On bro.
Hosted by Jesse Town and Sam Wilson. They're smart, they're sexy, and they're all Philly. So thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome into another episode of Babes on Broad, episode 16. I'm Sam Wilson with my co-host Jesse Town. We are the Babes on Broad, brought to you by BGN Radio and SB Nation. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everything at Babes on Broad. Me personally on Instagram and Twitter at SamWills18. And then Jess on Twitter is at RunThisTown13. And on Instagram is at Jessica_Town with an E. And then if you want to rep the Babes, you can purchase our gear on Design Tree. Hopefully we need to get more stuff up. So hopefully
my brother actually just texted me this morning like a bunch of designs that he thinks would be cool. So I'm like, all right, dude, keep going.
And yeah, if you guys didn't know, we're international now. Jess's brother reps us over in Rome.
Yep.
He's studying abroad. So just if you want to
rep in the Babe squad.
Yeah. And I mean, he's getting compliments in Rome.
He sent us a nice pic.
That's all I'm going to say.
That's all I'm going to say. And his roommate has one too, but he's also a Patriots fan. But I still got him
there
one
you go.
That's green and white.
Oh, I was going to say you could get him a Sixers one, and it's kind of
red
and blue.
No.
There we go.
I did it on purpose.
Yeah.
Also because his dad's a Cowboys fan. So it's just right at him.
I like it.
Right at him.
So the Babes are international. Get on board, people.
Yeah.
Going right into it.
Right into it.
Eagles. Overtime win. They did get the win, at least.
Thank God.
Yes. 23-17.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
What was your prediction from last week?
I don't remember.
Mine was 24-20.
We should write those down.
I definitely think I did. I'll see if I can pull it up. And
I feel like I was kind of close to that.
I feel like we, like,
because I said some weird second number, didn't I? Like 19 or something?
Yeah, you did. I'm going to look it up. But, yeah, 23-17 overtime victory. The Eagles scored 20 unanswered points.
Yeah, late second half and overtime 20? Combined.
Yes, in the second half and overtime
second
combined.
Half,
yeah, because it was 17-3 at halftime.
Yeah, there's our math skill right there.
I'm terrible at math. That's why I'm dating a math teacher.
We did our show this morning. I'm still out of it. I took a 3-hour nap, but after that late game.
Sam's tired.
I am tired. That game did not make me want to jump out of bed, even though it was a win. It's the first win, probably, I could say, that I didn't jump out of
bed.
Well,
it's the first win in 5 weeks.
Yeah, and I still wasn't excited about it.
I was only excited. There were things that I was excited about. So
I agree. There's one thing I'm happy about.
So sitting in the rain, I was not excited about. Being damp when I left, I was not excited about. We did leave just a little bit early because obviously, like, having to work today and traffic and stuff. And it was raining and it was just
going to
be a mess.
It was a long night.
But I got home in time to watch overtime, which was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to watch it with Joe when I got home, which was nice too. But I knew, and I said last week, and I remember I asked you if you thought they were going to boo, if they were going to boo them when they came out. They did not boo them when they came out. Any remote misstep was relentlessly booed.
Yeah, dude, you could hear it. There were not many people there, you could see, but it sounded like there were a lot with those boos.
Oh, it was a lot. It was every time there was even the slightest misstep, miscue, any penalty, overthrow, underthrow, wrong cut, missed block, dropped ball. Like you'd think it was like third quarter boo birds were out. They were out from the start, and I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think it really, like, it was a hostile environment for the home team.
It
was. I mean, it was one of those things where you're, I mean, part of it was like everyone's in the rain for this garbage football team that is playing and they're getting obliterated by Eli Manning in the first half. And the defense couldn't stop anybody. They're getting beat on long passes. And it was just, I mean, it was really unfortunate to watch, but it was also like, I wasn't sitting there and no one believed me when I said this the first week of the season either. When I was sitting there watching the Redskins game, there was no part of me that thought, oh my God, they're going to lose this game. Like this, they're going to lose
furious.
This game.
I was opposite.
I was annoyed with what they were doing, but there was no part of me, honest to God, even in, what did we say, this week 15, 14?
Last week, yeah, yesterday was week 14.
There were, even in week 14 of this weird season, I can honestly say I never was like, I really think they're going to lose this game. I did, you know, there were a couple times where I was like, okay, if the Giants score here and go up whatever, 24-3, we're going to call it at halftime and we're not going to sit in this weather anymore and we'll watch the rest of it from home. But I never felt like they were out of it.
Yeah, I was completely opposite. I don't know if it was just because I was tired. I was up past my bedtime.
You're grumpy.
But I was grumpy from the start. Right away, I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, you are keeping me up, keeping me from my precious sleep for this trash football.
Yes.
I'm still pissed about it, honestly. So we're going to be honest. The only bright part, I was telling you this earlier, the only bright part to me was Carson coming up clutch at the end.
That was huge.
And that's huge. That's great for even if we do nothing this season. Man, it was just not fun to watch.
No.
And that's my thing is like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they're just the worst ever. Like, I understand they have injuries. Like, we're just in a bad place. Like, overall as a team, we've had rough predicaments come at us.
Yeah, definitely.
But man, like, I love the Eagles. I love football. I dread watching this team.
I feel that.
And I want it to be exciting again. And I'm sad it's not.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, they play the Redskins again and they play the Giants again. So they at least get to play
those two
teams.
Yeah, so that's going to be trash football too. See, even then, though.
Even against Dallas, it's going to be trash football.
Yeah, but that at least means something. So that would be exciting because I expect it at least to go back and forth. You know what I mean?
God, I hope so.
I hope it's not like. See, and that's the thing. Another tale of two halves was yesterday. And I feel like that is just the worst, like, kind of football because you just like get so frustrated and you're just like, come on.
Yeah.
And then they drag you along, literally.
Yeah.
It's an ex-boyfriend that just like ghosts you and then you're fine and you're starting to get happy again and he just comes out of nowhere and you're
like, what? I'm saying. Like, I wish they would have just picked one. Like, either suck or don't suck.
That's
don't keep
saying.
Going back and forth with me because you can't just keep pulling me in and leading me on.
We have feelings too.
Letting me down.
But gosh.
Listen, at the end of the day, they're still in it. I mean, they have the same record as Dallas. Dallas at this point has the tiebreaker because they beat us earlier this year. I mean, if they win against Dallas and they still have the same record, the Eagles win the division because of common NFC opponents. Because they lost to the Bears and they lost to the Packers.
Ah.
And the Eagles beat both of those teams. And the Cowboys and the Eagles both lost to the Vikings. So there's not a common NFC opponent outside of the division that the Cowboys beat. They haven't beaten a team with a winning record.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
The Eagles can
turn it around.
They can they're starting to turn it around. I just think that the way that they have planned for some of these games has just been ridiculous. And I think part of that falls on Mike Groh. I think part of it falls on Doug.
Well, dude. You literally dressed three receivers for yesterday's game, knowing Alshon
but
hasn't
think
been
about
healthy
it.
All season.
But think about it. If they would have dressed another receiver or brought someone else up from the practice squad or done something different and then made Sidney Jones inactive and they were looking for Craig James.
But they could have.
Like, it's one of those things that, like, everything happens for a reason. Do you think you and I, in your wildest dreams, did you think you and I would be sitting here today saying that Sidney Jones saved the game yesterday?
No, but
do you think that's a conversation we'd be having?
But here's my thing. you're only okay with it because it worked out.
Oh, absolutely.
Looking at it overall, that is not okay.
I almost threw up in my car when I heard them say Sidney Jones is coming in.
That is setting you up for failure.
But also,
you dressed three receivers. One was just off the practice squad. One's a struggling rookie that's starting to come into his own but hasn't proven anything yet. And then the other one is a guy that's been injured and looks old as heck all season.
Ready? And then the other one could have been Mac Hollins. And you think he was going to make the plays that Josh Perkins did in the fourth quarter?
No, and I'm fine with Mac not being here.
But I know, but it's just one of those things where you look at it and you're like, wow, they made all of the best decisions they could have with what they had to work with. Which, again, it's only because it worked.
Yeah, I'm still not happy with it.
Which, you know, who knows?
Skated by the skin of their teeth with that little, great, beautiful little Carson Wentz that guy.
They skated by putting Carson Wentz in the plays and in the positions where he thrives the most.
Carson looked good getting out of pocket last night.
Well, that's right? What they need him to do.
I know.
That's what they need him to do. They need to use him. They need to move him. They need to roll him out right or left. He's so accurate when he's on the move. He's not a pocket passer. Stop trying to make him a pocket passer. Even some of the little stuff, just like the quick three-step drops, mm-hmm. Your receivers have regressed so far, and even your tight ends too. Everyone on the offensive staff needs a swift kick in the butt because they're running their routes like they're in quicksand. So even if you try to throw, if you take your three-step drop and try to throw at the top of the break, like, they're not breaking. I don't know where they are. So it doesn't work anyway. And then makes Carson look worse. But then you have times now like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
That was
tracking a ball.
That was beautiful.
Making a phenomenal catch on a poorly placed ball, but it gets erased because your wide receiver makes a play to make you look better.
Yeah.
When was the last time that happened?
Real quick. Because yes. It does look like a poorly placed call, but it was technically defensive pass interference if he had not caught it. So technically it could have been a great throw if there wasn't defensive pass interference.
Are you talking about the one where he tracked it over his shoulder or the one in the end zone that was knocked out that Doug challenged?
No. The one that was tracked over his shoulder. They called defensive pass interference and it was declined because he caught the ball, obviously. Yeah.
But that's impressive. You think about some of the other receivers that we've had in and out of here.
Oh, yeah, it is definitely.
I mean, it's...
I'm just saying, like, I don't even think people should be like, Carson,
no, he had to make some, you know what I mean? No, and no one's going to say anything about it because he caught it.
Yeah.
If he didn't catch it, then we may be having a different conversation because people be freaking out about missing him. But
there's something else I was going to say. Oh, that's the one good thing, though, kind of, if you're trying to find a bright spot about all the injuries and all the just scrappiness that they've had to just throw in there for Carson, I feel like it's kind of putting a reset on it because they're forced to make Carson do this stuff instead of protect him like he's that little baby with weapon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's forcing him to get out of, or for them to let Carson get out of the show. I don't think Carson was staying in there purposely.
I think something else, we've talked about it. A lot of different shows have talked about it. People on Twitter have talked about it. One of the most important things that I really do think the Eagles need to do is they need to do what the Seattle Seahawks did. And anybody that has anything negative to say or doesn't support the franchise being built around Carson Wentz has to go no matter what nostalgia contract. You figure it out and get them out of here. That's what has to happen. And I think you're seeing some of the guys step up. The ones that have stepped up and you see the improvements from, those are the kinds of guys that you can trust to go to battle for and with Carson Wentz.
Yeah, one thing, I don't know if, what really is Nelson's injury?
It's the knee from the
in the end zone?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I guess Doug didn't really clarify it to well enough for me. So, like, was it his decision to be like, nah, I'm just going to sit this one out? Because if it is, that rubs me completely 110% the wrong way. If you're going to be like, nah, I don't feel 100%, you know, I'm better off out. No, dude, goodbye. Because that...
Truthfully, I don't know.
I know, and I can't tell by the way Doug said it, but like I'm assuming if they let it ride that long and then Saturday is when he's like, yeah, we thought he was going to be okay, but he's not.
And then, I mean...
Then I feel like that's Nelson saying he's not ready.
That's interesting today, which when this episode comes out, it will be yesterday.
Yeah.
Doug's Monday presser, Tuesday. Goodness gracious, what day of the week is it?
Oh my gosh, it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
It is.
I was playing on Monday. Okay, so this episode will be out Wednesday.
Yes.
Right now, as we're talking, it's Tuesday.
The same day as the press conference.
Yes. So in the presser, Doug said Lane is week to week with his high ankle sprain. Alshon is more significant. He's waiting on one more test to decide on the plan of course of action. He didn't specifically say it's possibly season ending. He said he's going to wait before he comments, but it's significant until the last test. Right now, not knowing what that last test is, my assumption would be MRI, mm-hmm. and hopefully
it takes a little
hopefully
longer.
It's not an Achilles tear. I don't want that for Alshon. Terrible. That would break my heart. Miles Sanders and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside are fine. Jalen is just going to have a brace on his elbow, but he's good. And they asked him about Nelson on Sunday, and he said, it's still up in the air. I'm going to have conversations with him to see where he is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if it was his decision to not play, I am so unbelievably over you, dude. Like, peace. I will call your cab and pay for it.
Listen, someone...
And I don't have $9 million.
Someone I follow on Twitter... Victor Williams, he's another podcaster.
Oh,
he does a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted today, it took 89 injuries, but now we see who really wants to play and go to war with Wentz. And I responded to a tweet and just really said, you know, it's showing us who should stay and who should go.
100%.
And I really think that's kind of what, who is stepping up in these big times right now is showing who is deserving to stay here,
mm-hmm.
and who needs to be shown the door. And
I think regardless, sorry,
no,
I think regardless
right
of Alshon's injury, he needs to be gone. I just don't think him and Carson have a great connection. And you just said about what Seattle did. You need to build a team around him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he needs to be gone no matter what. Nelson, obviously, I already just talked about it. Goodbye. JJ, I like JJ. I'll keep him.
I do too. I think
he has potential. That catch yesterday, I was like, okay, when he's comfortable with Carson back to being Carson and being comfortable with his receivers, that could be something. That showed a glimpse.
So let's start with Carson. So obviously it was an overtime victory, and everyone's talking about how Carson Wentz doesn't have a clutch gene. He led them on back-to-back touchdown drives to tie the game and then go to right down to score and win in overtime. I thought it was really good play calling in the fourth quarter and overtime. A good combo of running the ball and passing. I love going up tempo and letting Carson run the show with the line. It really forces him into that commanding leadership role, which I really do think he thrives in. And I think this might sound strange, but I think he's less in a leadership role when he gets this very specific play articulated to him in his ear and he walks up and shares it with everybody and then goes up to the line and runs it. I think he takes on a totally new, he totally snaps into this MVP type player when he is just running the show completely. He's taking care of everything, doing everything, and he's not thinking.
Yeah.
He's not overthinking. He's just playing, and I think that's when he's at his best. When he's playing, he's improvising, he's moving. You see what happens.
Yeah, I agree. Real quick, just to add on to that, Dave Zingaro tweeted out, so on the game-tying drive in the fourth and the game-winning drive in the overtime, Wentz was combined 11 for 13 for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's great.
In the fourth quarter, he was 17 for 24 for 195 yards and 2 touchdowns and a passer rating of 122.7. The second half, 22 for 31, 71% completion, 228 yards and 2 touchdowns. Now, they threw the ball 50 times. They only ran 32 times.
Which doesn't make sense because very rainy.
I still need them to run the ball more.
Yeah. And Boston Scott, what about him?
He's played really well. That's another thing. Like, Jordan Howard's out. Miles Sanders was hurt at some point in there. Jay Ajayi wasn't doing much for you, and Boston Scott...
He kept the momentum going.
Where is it? 10 carries for 59 yards and a touchdown. Also caught 6 passes on those little wheel routes for 69 yards.
That's
Darren Sproles' play. Those came out of the Darren Sproles chapter of the playbook, and obviously Darren Sproles has a phenomenal career, case for Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say he's the next Darren Sproles just yet, but it's the reason the Saints drafted him.
Yeah.
Because he was a Darren Sproles...
Which
type of player?
I mean, he's been learning under him all season. Could have been the reason for even bringing Darren.
Yeah. And, you know, he looked great. JJ, you know, everyone wanted to freak out, label him a bust halfway through the first season. And then everyone wanted to jump on Doug for not continuously putting him out there. And I said this before, I think Doug was really trying to not have a mental problem hands.
You have Nelson, and then you're like, oh, shoot, this is a real... thing. We need to watch everybody so they don't end up like
and
that.
I think they did a good job of handling it.
I agree.
Because he's playing very well, And, you know, the defensive adjustments were there. The Giants were scoreless in the second half, getting good pressure on Eli. Vinny Curry, two sacks on Eli.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. But they've got another game this week. They have less time to prepare because usually they get a day off.
Those Redskins.
Those darn Redskins. They're not very good either.
No.
Their defense isn't too bad.
However, they are not up for playoffs anymore. They are officially eliminated.
Officially eliminated. It took them getting to 3-10 to be eliminated. Or 3-11. 3-11. Excuse me. Yeah. They were 3-10. Darius Geis is not playing. He has an MCL sprain. Nothing's torn, which is good for him. And they're going to keep him out for the rest of the year just as a precaution because there's no point. Dwayne Haskins gets his first start against the Eagles, so we'll see what's going on there. Their offensive line is still terrible. They're last in the league in, I think, points per game, yards per game, and pass yards per game. Their run game's not too bad. However, their number one running back is not playing.
Yeah.
But their defense isn't too bad. They still have got Ryan Kerrigan. Without Lane Johnson out there, that's going to be Vitae's problem, which Doug did say Vitae was going to be the one to play, and he made a point to say we like the way that he works out there with Brandon as well, which was the first thing. When Lane went down, then I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, everyone's talked about it.
Yeah.
Brandon Brooks is an unbelievable warrior for going through what he goes through, and none of us will ever understand. And it's the fact that he's as open about it and shares what he goes through, I think, is also a really unbelievable thing to do. And it's a really strong thing to do. And I think that part of the reason that, obviously, we know that him and Lane Johnson are very close, but I think part of the reason that Lane battles as hard as he does is because he wants to make sure he's there for Brandon as much as Brandon battles and wants to make sure he's there for Lane. And I think it shows you how much it really is bigger than football sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think keeping Vitae in there is probably the best idea. Not putting Dillard over there. I don't want to see that ever again. That hurt me inside. Yeah. I thought Vitae did a pretty good job when he came in. I mean, there's no one to write home about on the Giants defensive line, but Ryan Kerrigan is someone that has wreaked some havoc against the Eagles over the years.
With that being said, what's your prediction? I know we kind of did this off the top of our head because we realized it's so early in the week and we're like, oh, shoot.
Yeah. But I have to give one later tonight anyway, so I need to figure out one. So I think that they can build on this against a team that really doesn't have anything to play for other than getting their rookie quarterback some experience. I'm hoping the weather's better on Sunday. Is it supposed to be? I hope.
I have no clue.
Who cares? I'll be in Disney sitting at the ESPN club watching this game.
Fun for you. Good for
Although it's supposed to rain the majority of the time we're down there. But
well, that's where you get
You know what? It's warmer than it is here. It's supposed to snow tonight.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah, it's supposed to snow like overnight. It's supposed to stop by like 8 a.m. But you go to work. You go to work at like 5.
I start work at 5.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Sounds brutal.
Sunday, as of right now, is 46 and partly cloudy. Not terrible.
All right. So some good football weather.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go 27-16 Eagles.
You stole mine, kind of.
Sorry.
I think as well that the offense starts meshing things together because, I mean, if they don't, it's kind of getting late for that. So they have to start putting it together. I think they're going to ride some momentum. And then hopefully their defense doesn't make this offense look like anything special. So I'm hoping they won't. I don't
see
them doing it. Yeah, but I'm just going to say 27-10 Eagles.
Sounds good. I wrote it down this time.
Good.
So I didn't forget.
Good.
Yeah, I think they just have to kind of continue on what they were doing. Throw a little bit of tempo in there. Roll Carson out of the pocket. Please move the pocket
to either side. Let Carson be Carson.
Let Carson be Carson.
Yeah.
Dallas plays the Rams this week, who looked really good against the Seahawks.
Dude, I was surprised. So, like, I mean, the Rams, they go up and down. You never, like, hear, like, big talk. But they're, like, in the top 10 right now.
I mean, yeah, ranking. The NFC West is ridiculous because you've got the 49ers, the Seahawks, and the Rams.
Yeah.
Both wildcard teams might come out of that division. Probably will.
Probably.
And
all
one
three
of them
are in the top 10.
One of them will roll in here to play the 9-7 NFC East division champions.
Bring
at
on!
12-4.
Bring on the Rams then, because you know what happened 2 years ago today? Yesterday for you listeners, Carson went down in L.A.
He has not made it this far in a season in 3 years.
That's nuts.
Because it was the 9th they played Dallas. And that was his last game last year.
Wow.
Yeah. This is his furthest he's made it. So, for all you injury bug haters, knock on wood.
Knock on the wood, Jess, because you said that and I started itching. The wood. Started twitching over here, like, oh, Jess.
Oh, Sam's twitch is back. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what's going on in Philly, which is really just the other sports teams, because there's big things going on with all of them.
Woo, woo.
So we'll talk about that when we get back. We're the Babes on Broad on BGN Radio.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
We are back, and now we are taking you around all things Philadelphia. Yes. And we're starting with the Sixers. No. Boom, shakalaka.
Okay, I'll say there's no singing today, but I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for that at all.
I don't know. That just came to me. You know, it was just a calling. I felt it, and I said it.
I support it. It's fine.
Yeah, so the Sixers, they have a tough one at home tonight. Denver Nuggets come in home. So when you listen tomorrow, it already happened. So hopefully they're still undefeated at home.
Hopefully we're talking about undefeated at home, which also means a Sixers dub.
Yeah.
And hopefully we're talking about Joel Embiid getting back on track against he's had pretty decent success against Jokic.
Yeah.
Minus the wrong foul call in Denver earlier this year. That upset me greatly. But he didn't play against the Cavs. However, I will say, no matter what he's doing, he commands a body on the floor. And last year, one of the biggest problems was without Joel Embiid, this team really started to flounder. Mm-hmm. In games that he didn't play or when he was off the floor. Now, because Ben Simmons has stepped up his aggression a little bit and because of Al Horford, they're not having those problems anymore. So without Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons had himself a nice little day on Saturday, didn't he?
He did.
34 points, multiple shots outside the paint, another beautiful three in rhythm.
The whole team played well Saturday.
Beautiful.
What'd they have, 141, something like that?
They won by, 46 points, which is the largest margin since, the 80s?
Yeah, so I think it was, 141 and 95 or something like that. It outrageous.
It was beautiful.
It was absolutely beautiful.
It's
what you call a nice win.
And that's also Brett, without Joel Embiid and without Josh Richardson, Brett Brown continued to start Furkan Korkmaz, which people are mad about, but I agree with because he's such a liability on the defensive side. So he's out there essentially with their best defensive unit, which I see the logic there. And then he started Mike Scott as well, who was struggling immensely. And it actually helped him get back into it a little bit. He had 21 points on Saturday, 9 for 12 from the floor, and 3 for 5 from 3 against the Cavaliers. Now, again, not really a team, you know, not a defensive juggernaut by any means, but helps you get back in rhythm a little bit.
It does.
Which carried over to the second half of a back-to-back against the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, and they took one against the Raptors. One know who had a lot of three-pointers in that game? Tease! 5 3-pointers. His high scoring of the season, well, I guess ever, because he's a rookie, 20 points, 3 assists, 3 steals.
I love him.
Me too.
He's so wonderful.
He's I want to be that grandma that goes up and be like, I'll just love you, boy, and pinch his cheeks.
I would just like to remind everyone that everyone wanted to be like, oh, yeah, he can play defense, but he can't shoot. Like he didn't shoot 40% from 3 his junior year of college. But no one would know that because they actually don't know what they're talking about, and they had no idea who this kid was because he played at Washington. And after Markelle Fultz, everyone just pretended that the Washington Huskies didn't exist.
True.
However, let's leave the drafting to the professionals. And by professionals, I mean Elton Brand should be the only person drafting for every sports team in the city. That's just me, though. Also someone who's stepped up big lately, Tobias Harris.
He has. I was going to say that. Go Toby.
December so far. Now, I know it's only right now. It's December 10th. Tomorrow will be December 11th. 37.5% from three, 92.9% from the free throw line, and he's averaging 25 points per game in the month of December so far. Not too bad. And something that I've talked about a lot is there's a leadership aspect that comes with a max contract as well.
Yeah. And that's something the Sixers definitely need.
And something Matisse Thybulle had some things to say about the other day.
That was cute.
That was so great.
Yeah. So if you missed it, he basically said how Tobias is his role model, not only on the court, but off the court. He goes to him about financial help and all that stuff, what he should do. And I thought that was really nice.
Sits with him on flights and
picks his brain, kind of.
Yeah, and it's good for a rookie to have someone like that.
Yeah, comfortability.
Also, I definitely think it was Tobias that made him give water out to all of the media members.
Now it makes sense.
It has to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll see where they continue to go. I mean, they're playing really well. They're starting to play well together. Things are starting to mesh well. You start to see not only that, but Brett Brown starting to see the strengths of each of his players and running specific plays to get all of his different players going. You see certain things run for Al. They're different than what's run for Joel or Ben. You see the different things. But that also, everyone 7 games in wanted to trade Tobias, fire Brett Brown, trade Ben. Everyone wanted to clean house after they worked so hard to put this team together. And, it takes time from a on-court chemistry with the coach, running the right, it all takes time.
Yeah, I'd say right now they're exactly where they're supposed to be in terms of meshing together, learning each other, besides Joel Embiid. Because Joel, as we talked about it last week, he's got good numbers. Like, he's still putting up good numbers, but not Joel Embiid numbers with the Joel Embiid energy that we were all hoping and expecting. You know what I mean?
The energy's not there.
No, he...
And I don't
We
get
have
it.
Our theories, but we're not going to put them out there because it sounds fake. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's just lackluster. He doesn't have anything to play for.
He seems just like he's got his head in the clouds. He's got a fog around his head.
Which is so weird because where's that JoJo that used to be so hyped up? He was talk trash and he was the number one Joel fan in defensive player of the year. Screw that. I'm going to be MVP. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I need that Joel
we need
in my
that.
Life.
Yeah.
And I hope everything's okay. I hope everything's okay.
I know.
Because he is a very, he's a loud personality, but he's always been a very private person. He doesn't put his personal life out there a lot.
Which you shouldn't. It's smart of him.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's totally fine. I have no problem with that. But that's the thing. I don't think it would be a well-known, it wouldn't be a well-known ordeal if there was something going on in his personal life.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope everything's okay, and I hope he's able to figure it out because this team is so much more fun and enjoyable when Joel is Joel. It's what kind of endears us as fans to the team, I think, and I think part of that is just Joel Embiid's personality.
Yeah. I hope it is just something small and stupid.
Yeah.
That's bothering him, because then at least he'll snap out of it eventually and come back. I hope it's not that he just doesn't love it anymore or something,
Yeah, I hope he talks some trash tonight against Jokic and figures it out.
Yeah.
Another team in Philly that's doing some things, the Phillies. So last week.
Or I guess you could say kind of not doing things.
Right? Not doing things. We're hearing things. It's one of those because this.
Hot soap.
The off season's so long. The regular season's long. The off season feels longer based on everything being dragged out now. So before we came on the air last week, they had signed Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
Now, the most recent signing was Steven Strasburg got 7 years, $245 million, which tells me Gerrit Cole can get over,
to the Nationals.
Over $300.
Oh, yeah. He's going to get a lot of money. I basically have it a lock in my head that he's going to the Yankees. I don't see why he wouldn't. They have the money.
They have the money.
Yeah. Like, I just don't see why they wouldn't.
They have the offer out there already.
Yeah.
The
Strasburg, though, 7 years. Props to him. I mean, he wasn't going to get that.
Him.
He wasn't going to get that anywhere else besides the Nationals. Nobody's going to sign him to 7 years.
No. It makes Bryce Harper's contract look so much better.
I know.
Because, like, people are still mad about Bryce Harper's contract for whatever reason, because people like to be angry about stupid things. The other, I think, interesting thing that you and I were talking about a little bit during our break is the situation at the Phillies' third base. They let Franco go, so they don't have a third baseman currently.
A major league third baseman.
Yes. They are in trade talks for Chris Bryant from the Cubs, who is very good friends with Bryce Harper, but nothing's
Vegas
imminent.
Vegas boys.
Yes. Nothing's imminent. But the Phillies are hesitant to do a long-term deal for a third baseman because of Alec Bohm, which may essentially take them out of the race for Anthony Rendon. What are your thoughts there on... Well, no, the thing with Chris Bryant might have worked because that'll be a short-term.
Oh, it's a short-term. Okay. I see what you're saying.
So, but who knows what they'll... If they'll still do it.
Yeah.
And then there's the whole thing with Anthony Rendon. So, what... I've seen some things on Twitter. People are not happy about...
They don't trust...
Trusting development and trusting potential and the prospect instead of going for something that you know is a sure thing. Sam, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so a lot of things I'm seeing is Rendon's approving, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, the voice
Bohm,
is coming out.
Yeah.
The voice is out.
And
this is Bohm, serious.
You don't know what he's going to be. It's just projection, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, I see what they're saying, and most of the time they're right. Like, you always, obviously, you want a proven factor instead of projection. Most of the time, not always. My feelings on Bohm, I agree. Because I was telling you earlier, I've seen Bohm play. He's a big, big kid. He's got the power already. He can hit. He's moving up in the system fast because he's that good. I think that, I mean, it wouldn't hurt for them not to sign somebody long term. Get him some playing time up at this level right now. They're not in win now mode. If they really, truly were in win now mode, they would have signed a better pitcher already. You know what I mean? They would have been even higher in the talks for Gerrit Cole or somebody big, you know? So to me, they're on the verge of like, yeah, we want to win if we can win with these people. They're not in, we're going to do whatever. They're not truly in super money and whatever it takes to win right now. So I think it makes sense to do that. Why waste your money on a third baseman when you could have Bohm? Unless I did hear a theory about if Rhys Hoskins using Knapp for a trade and moving Bohm over.
That
to
was
going to
be my next question. Do you think they trade Rhys, move Bohm, and get a third baseman like Bryant or Rendon?
It could work. It
Rhys has no trade value right now.
I know. It could work.
We could get him for a bag of peanuts. Maybe.
Yeah. I know. He had a down year. If it was a year earlier, we could have gotten something. But I don't. I do truly think Rhys will have a comeback year. I mean,
he just had
an offseason. So I do think exactly the trade value. I think it would be smarter to keep him. Like I said, I don't think they're going to win now. So, like, build him up. Let him get his stats back on. And then eventually, maybe, who knows? You let Bohm if he gets some playing time. And you keep Rhys because he's back on track. Or you trade him. Move Bohm over. There's so many possibilities. That's what's cool about baseball. Because there's so many
moving parts.
Chess pieces.
I also think that right now, you're going to be in to try to see if you can get Gerrit Cole. You'd be stupid to not be in part of it. Here's part of it. Rhys is a Boris guy. You're not trying to piss off Scott Boris by trying to trade Rhys Hoskins right
now.
I feel like that's stupid.
That's a very good point.
Because you also, regardless of the fact that Bryce Harper has a no opt out and a no trade clause for the next 12 years, you don't want him to be unhappy.
Yeah.
You're not going to risk upsetting Bryce Harper. And I think trading Rhys Hoskins might be up there on ways to do that.
That's
not extending JT and trading Rhys Hoskins, I think, are probably top two for how to upset your superstar.
Yeah. I'm just going to tell you right now, I will be upset if we don't get another top pitcher.
I agree wholeheartedly.
You can't, every single team that made it far.
We talked about it. The list of pitchers in the World Series was unbelievable.
Literally! Like, it's no secret that you need a Verlander, at least top Cole, starting three.
Greinke, Strasburg,
these teams are just
Scherzer,
out of the Corbin. Water better.
It's amazing to me that any of us believe the Phillies could go anywhere with their pitching when you look at the top six pitchers in the World Series.
That's what I'm saying.
Unbelievable.
Like, to me, that's why it's so worth, yeah, like Rendon, he's great, obviously. That's why I'm willing to keep Boehm at third. I want to save that money and I want to spend it where it should be spent.
I just want them to be good again. I want them to make playoffs again. And I just, I want playoff baseball. I don't care if it's one game. I want playoff baseball. I need better. I need better.
Wanna know who's doing better?
Who?
Than years prior? The Flyers!
The Flyers!
Yes. They head to Colorado for you guys tonight. And then, right, Colorado? Yeah,
yeah, they play, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be a good game.
We hope. Unfortunately, hopefully. With them, here's the biggest issue right now. Konechny's out indefinitely with a concussion. Right now, the Flyers are in third place in their division with 39 points. They're 10 points behind the Caps, and they're fourth in the conference. The Bruins have 46 points, so it's the Caps, the Bruins, the Islanders, and then the Flyers. So they're taking on the Avalanche Wednesday. But
AKA today.
Yes, AKA today, who are second in the Western Conference with 41 points. And Nathan MacKinnon is third in the NHL in points with 47, and he's leading the Avalanche in points, goals, and assists. And the Flyers will be without their points, goals, and assists leader in Konechny.
Yikes. Yeah, but you know what? I still take the Flyers because I believe in
them. I believe.
You got a lot of young guys. I mean, and they just, there's been so many times I feel like this year that you're just like, wow. Like, the young guys are showing up. Like, yeah. The whole team's pulling together. They're doing stuff. They're just coached so well. Hopefully Carter Hart's in net because
I love
he's got the best shot at stopping him. And anything's possible when you just believe.
Cinderella story, huh?
Yeah!
Yeah.
It was a Cinderella story.
I'm right here. Don't you worry. Yeah! I'm right here. We got this.
You got the reference.
You know what I don't believe? That he still didn't know it was her with just that mask over her eyes.
I know. I think that is so stupid.
It makes me mad every time.
Face shape. You
voice?
You literally just couldn't see around her eyes.
Yeah, no, it makes me mad every time. And
great movie, though.
It makes my dad mad, too. Like, I'll turn it on, he'd be like, I still don't understand
that
how he can't
believe that. That is Lizzie McGuire!
Yeah.
You know it! That's what you say.
It's a phenomenal movie, and I still don't get it.
Yeah.
And to this day, anytime we have smoked salmon, someone in my family talks about the salmon from Norwegia.
That's so funny.
Which is still the funniest, one of the best lines written in a movie.
She bothers me how she talks to the semi. I don't know the actress's name, but she's got all that
Jennifer
Botox,
Coolidge.
So she's like this.
Yeah, it's Stifler's mom.
Yeah, it is Stifler's mom. Okay, movie
references. Oh, and to be clear, that the line, she's dumb, and she says, it costs a fortune to fly this salmon in from Norwegia. That's the line in the movie. I'm not sitting here thinking Norway is Norwegia. Please do not come after me for quoting a movie. Please and thank you. But we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about our recipe for the week and answer some questions. We are the Babes on Broad on BGN Radio.
We are back for the final segment of episode 16.
Woo-hoo. So, Sam, tell us about the recipe you've got for this week.
Yeah, so I just was thinking, you know, I love chicken casserole, and it's a good time to make it. I mean, I'm just a big casserole person anyway, so.
Casseroles are delicious.
Yeah, and chicken casserole that my stepmom used to make is one of my favorites of all time, so that's what we're going to do this week.
Yum.
Yeah, so I'll put up a picture, obviously, on Instagram, everything.
Share the recipe.
Yeah, it's really easy. I mean, casseroles are the best because you literally just throw everything together, cook it, and throw it in the oven with cheese, you know?
Yeah, that sounds like the best way to eat anything, honestly.
And this is so easy. It's literally chicken. And, I mean, I cook my own chicken and then shred it, but a rotisserie chicken would be so much easier.
Mm.
You know? But, whatever. So, it's just chicken, cream of chicken soup. It's technically 2 cans of 10 ounces, but I switch it up. The secret, I do a 10-ounce can of cream of chicken and a 10-ounce can of cream of mushroom.
Ooh, yum.
Yeah, and then I also add some extra stuff. So, like, I add It's supposed to just be chicken and noodles and all that sauce and cheese and stuff. But I add mushrooms and I add peas and I add onions.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, so it's really good. And then a lot of cheese.
Yeah, all the cheese. Yeah. You need all the cheese. That sounds delicious. So that'll be a... I can't wait. Can't wait to see it. All right, so we have a couple questions. Going forward, do you think the Eagles should call up a practice squad receiver or sign a free agent? Because they are going to be without Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah. That's tough because I don't know who's on their practice squad. And
Mark
I don't know
and Michelle. Sony Michelle's
brother.
And who's
out in free agency?
Jordan Matthews. Antonio Brown.
That didn't work. So, and I hate the thought of having AB here. So let's just go with Michelle.
Okay,
Why not?
They basically said, so now, granted, when this is being listened to, we're already going to have an answer to this, what they do.
Yeah.
Doug said today, because they have to get back to practice tomorrow, we have a few guys on the practice squad. We can also look outside the building. We're back on the field tomorrow, so we'll have an answer to that question today. So
hopefully,
If it were me, I would Jordan Matthews or Mark and Michelle. Like, don't go further.
AB just put out a rap video today. Did you see that?
No, but I need to.
Yeah, I didn't listen to it yet, but I heard about it.
No, I'm going to need to go look at that. All right, do you keep Nelly out now because of health reasons or just put him back in if he's ready?
That's the thing that sucks. Morally, I'm like, goodbye, dude. I'm over you. You're not a team player. But at this point, we don't really have many options, so I think we kind of need him.
If he can play, he needs to play. Here's
exactly
the thing. If he can play, he's another body out there. He's shown
vendetta.
Us before that he can do things out there. Hopefully he can do them again against a bad football team. And furthermore, he's in a contract year. Go out there and try to earn yourself a contract, man. Like, if you're not doing it for the team, do it for yourself.
Right?
Was there a significant change in play calling or philosophy from this coaching staff late in the game? What do you think? I just think they let Carson be Carson. They stopped thinking too much. They went tempo and that was that.
I didn't really notice anything in play calling really specifically that like was drastically changed. Defense did. Obviously, they were better in the second half, and I think it was because they were playing closer.
Yeah. I also think – so and continuing on, the Eagles' offense went with tempo, which helped them get those drives going, and then they stayed on the field longer and gave the defense actual rest.
Yeah.
Which cannot be discredited. Mm-hmm. And last question. With a small sample size, should Boston Scott be a part of the team's game plan moving into next year?
Why not? Make him a third string. He proved himself yesterday. So, I mean, if he continues, I would say that. If he continues, then why not have him as a third string? I mean, he'd be cheap.
Yeah.
He'd be proven at that point, at least a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a one great game and done, it doesn't matter to me if he stays.
Yeah. I mean, if he doesn't, he's been reliable to this
mm-hmm.
point. He had a great game on Sunday. He was a firecracker in the backfield, and he gave him the spark that they needed. I don't know if he should be a feature back going forward,
but I think
that he's absolutely earned himself that conversation to be in consideration to be a part of this team going
forward.
Yeah,
I agree. As a third, not a feature.
No. If it was, feature. I mean, you know, if they keep Jordan Howard, depending on what's going on with his shoulder. Then Miles Sanders, and you have, I don't know, do they keep Jay Ajayi?
That'd be stupid. I'd rather have Boston
Scott than
Ajayi. And
then put Boston Scott as the fourth one. Who knows? We'll see.
Would you rather have Scott or Ajayi? Who would you have above? I would have Scott.
At this point, yeah, I would have Boston Scott.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
Ajayi's just getting
What old. Do I know?
Nobody knows what they're thinking. That's all that matters.
All I know is they need to figure it out before next year, or we're going to have some big issues.
Yeah, we're coming out swinging then.
Seriously. But either way, they won.
Yeah.
They're still in it. They're right. It's there for the taking.
As miserable as I am about this win, I must say I would be much more miserable if we were out.
Yes.
So it's just the privilege and the expectations in me that are disappointed.
The expectations were leaps and bounds ahead of
mm-hmm.
what they've accomplished this year. But I would much rather be watching meaningful football
exactly.
than be a Redskins fan or a Giants
yeah.
fan.
Just stop making me dread watching my own team, man. That's all I'm saying.
Just stop making me sad.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
And
they won.
On a positive note.
They won.
Go Sixers!
Go Sixers. Go Flyers.
Phillies.
Get me a pitcher or two. Please.
That's the sizzle of the stove.
maybe find me a new co-host. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't replace you for the world. Thank you for listening to another episode of Babes on Broad, episode number 16. We'll be back to you next week for episode number 17, hopefully after another Eagles win, some more Sixers wins, and some Flyers wins.
Maybe you'll be tan.
God, I hope so. I hope I can get a little bit of color while I'm in Florida over the next couple days. That would be ideal. But thank you to SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Don't forget, you can find our podcast anywhere you get podcasts. Subscribe. Leave a 5-star review, written review. Make sure you follow us personally and our show pages on Twitter, Instagram. You can also like Babes on Broad on Facebook. Look out for Sam's recipe for chicken casserole coming this week. Am I missing anything? Check out our shop on designtree.com. We're going to get some new stuff up there soon. And until next week, we're the Babes on Broad on BGN Radio. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Sixers.
Go Sixers.
Go Flyers.
Go Flyers.
Philly's Hot Stove.
Babes on Broad.